Defending Mobile Technology, episode 102, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Oh, sorry.
This is the Trending Topics Network's very own Trending Mobile Technology, and we've got a special edition going on for you today. I don't do these very often. Usually I save it for my security special or when my co-host tonight gets a wild hair up his butt and he and I feel like going toe-to-toe over some other things. But today, the focus of Trending Mobile Technology is cord cutting. Now, before anybody gets their panties in too big of a bunch and ask him, what the hell is he talking about, we'll get into this, okay? We will get into this, I promise. But before I get too carried away myself, my co-host tonight, my neighbor to the north, the greatest heel of all the times, Mr. Old School. Welcome back, sir. Long time no talk. Thank you for joining me again tonight.
Thank you very much for having me. Let me just preempt the start the show by saying I have not consumed any alcohol before starting. I have water next to me. I promise I will not go off the rails with this show.
Yeah, and for those who are interested as to where that what came from, tune in to All Beer Inside, which debuted last Saturday right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. And all will be revealed. This is unfortunately not a situation that can be revealed by Googling it or asking Cortana or asking Siri. Unfortunately, it is something that you must experience personally. Would you agree with that, Mr. Old School?
Absolutely. And just for the listeners at home, around the 1 hour mark, I guess the 30-minute mark is when it starts to topple over. And around the one hour mark into the show, we've been having a little too much fun with shots, and it pretty much goes downhill. So laugh at my pain. Laugh at my pain.
There you go. The Germans call it Schadenfreude, experiencing pleasure from another one's pain. And I tell you what, I listened to that show more than once and thoroughly enjoyed myself either way. But we must digress into getting into the serious topic of trending mobile technology. Mr. Old School being a Canadian, myself, Piper the DJ being American, we have two different perspectives as we always do. Sometimes we see eye to eye, other times we don't always see eye to eye. But when it does come to cord cutting, we do share a few different things. And as we get started, Mr. Old School, from the Canadian perspective, the neighbors to the north, the folks from across the pond, whichever perspective you want to look at it, what does cord cutting mean to you, sir?
I would say cord cutting for myself would mean the more traditional sense where you would cut yourself from the cable company. Now, for those of us who have a couple of years, say 20, 30 years, the main way you get your entertainment is through the cable company, whether it's TV shows, live sports, movies, etc. You would have to have that connection in order to really watch any kind of entertainment. The only other alternative is to go to Blockbuster and rent a movie. So, but recently the internet's gotten to the point where it can stream video very efficiently, and there are a lot of hackers out there, and there are a definite large amount of ways, and I'm not going to say just illegal because there are legitimate ways.
Yes, there are. And those are actually becoming more and more dominant as time goes by. Just saying.
Agreed, absolutely. There are a lot of legitimate ways to get your content without needing to pay a cable company. And I believe the one similarity that we both have is that cable subscriptions are still extremely expensive, I believe, on both sides of the border. And I believe that is because back in the day when they were running all this wire, in order for them to profit from it, they were given exclusivity rights from the government.
Yep. Yes, they were.
Yeah. So I can tell you in my region of Canada where I'm at, there is one cable provider. There is also a satellite TV provider, but that's it. So you're either going one or the other if you want to go the actual old school cable route. And I know in different territories of the U.S., it's the same thing. You've got one cable provider, one DSL provider, and that's pretty much it. So the whole idea of cord cutting is saying, you know what? I'm not going to be controlled by this company. They want to charge me all these different kind of packages and sports add-ons and this. So if all I want to watch is NHL hockey, right now I've got to pay around $50 a month, and I think that's crazy. So for those people who have, you know, a lot of patience, who do their research, and who perhaps not might give back on quality a little bit, there are different alternatives than having to bow down to the cable company.
Exactly, exactly. And cord cutting means the same thing down here. It could also encompass any type of cord. There's a lot of people that I've come in contact with recently who have recently, quote, cut the cord, meaning they're getting rid of their wall phone. Standard home phones from back in the day, you know, you had either the touch tone or the rotary that hung on the wall. You know, I remember we'd have homework sessions at night, you know, where somebody'd sit at the kitchen table and talking back and forth, whether it be through one phone or another, and you're sitting there working on homework at the kitchen table using the wall phone. And you always had the really, really long cord because no one could ever sit still, you know. And cord cutting, for me, it can encompass many, many things, okay? Basically speaking, I got tired of paying $100 a month for cable service. I got fed up with it. You know, they kept trying to bundle all this crap together. Oh, we can get you 10 megs up and down and 100 and some odd channels and a landline phone and wash your windows and walk your dog and all this other crap. And I was like, look, time out, back up. All I want is basic cable and the internet. That's it. I don't want all this other crap. My dog is fine because I walk him in the morning. You know, I don't need my car washed. I don't need a landline phone. I don't need all this other crap. Well, that's where you get your discount, sir. You need to understand this. You get your discount by getting all these extra services. I'm like, you know, all I want is internet and cable. And like you said, we do have certain areas of the United States divided up to certain carriers. Central Midwest, we have Comcast is very popular. You go south about 2 hours and you start running into what's called Charter territory, which is, it's not really a subsidiary of Comcast, but it's a competitor for that area. Now, we do have some places where there are two choices, whether it be Charter or Comcast or satellite, but the prices going one from to the other are all pretty much the same. So you're not really doing yourself any favors, and you're not really working your way up in any positive fashion. Now, one thing that I've discovered when I initially stepped into this realm whole hog is all I need is an internet connection. And I'm actually getting to a point now where all I need is about a 4G connection to get this pulled off. But 4G isn't as reliable as it is in most areas, so I'm not fully on board with that direction yet. But I do have a DSL connection coming in. I've got a 10-4 line coming into the house, and it does what I need it to. I can run my Netflix. I can run my Amazon Prime. I can run my movie streaming movies. And cord cutting, to, you know, eventually I'll be able to cut that last cord. Eventually. But right now I've got everything else cut. I've been that way for over 5 years, and I'm actually very proud that I've been that way. And I accepted this undertaking because I was tired of just paying the bills every month and feeling like I was getting raped up the ass. And I don't use that phrase very often, but it just felt like I was getting taken advantage of, and the cable companies were charging this because they could, you know, and it came to a point I was like, you know, I'm done. I found myself a cable provider or a internet provider that's all that they offered, you know, hey, this is what we do. This is it. Nothing else. You know, you want TV, we can get you a discount, but you have to go through these other guys and here's your promo code, all this other crap. But all they do is internet. And I said, these are the guys I want to talk to. And to this day, you know, it's been this way, at least 5 years. And you know, eventually I'll get that final cord cut, but I'm not quite there yet.
How much do you pay, if I asked you, okay, how much do you pay for telephone service, for cable and entertainment, including, I guess, TV shows, movies, all that? If you gave me a figure per month.
Are you talking telephone? You talking cell phone?
Everything.
Okay.
How much do you pay for your, entertainment and communication services this per month?
For me and the wife, I pay less than $200 a month.
That's pretty good.
I think it is, considering before I cut the cord, I was paying upwards of $500. And as long as I can keep that price, you know, reasonable,
yeah,
I'll be happy. I mean, I've got two cell phone lines, one for the wife and one for me. Plus, I've got internet, which I said is 10-4. Plus, I have my Netflix, my Amazon Prime streaming on Google Music.
Okay.
So when you compare it to what I was paying Comcast, and another thing is the service is a hell of a lot better too. Okay.
Yep.
Comcast, I don't know if I told you this story, Mr. Old School, but
right,
one of the things that frustrated me the most with Comcast is they would say, oh, we'll get you signed up for your 1010 service. Or 2020 or whatever asinine promo they were offering, and I would have the worst time getting anything over than two or three up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to, you know, like, you're in breach. Oh, no. It says we can get up two. I was like, well, that's not what you're telling me, and that's definitely not what your website says. You know, if you're going to say 1010, it better be 1010, not up to 1010. You know, I believe I was on it at one point in time for like 2 months. And after 2 months, they couldn't get it fixed. And I was just like, you know something? Screw you. I'm done. You know, terminate this. It's over. If I'm going to pay for high speed, I expect high speed. And high speed is not 2 meg upload speed. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My DSL provider doesn't classify 4 upstream as high speed, but, you know, they still classify it. It's a solid connection. I'm not going to argue with that. It's a solid connection. I'm content with it. It's not exorbitant. It's not overly abundant, but it's what I need. You know, after I get this show edited down, it'll take me 2 to 5 minutes to get it uploaded to the Trending Topics Network and ready for broadcast.
And your bottleneck's probably the Podbean server and not your connection.
I was going to say, I very seldom have a bottleneck on my end.
Yeah.
I've got a Linux box sitting on my routers, keeping an eye on traffic, and every once in a while I get somebody who tries to throw a packet in there that's not supposed to. But 9 times out of 10, my throughput, I mean, it's literally, it's through. And that's just all there is to that.
That's awesome. That's really good. I can tell you on my end, currently, and maybe I'll run through some of the services I use.
Sure.
I spend around $75 a month.
Wow.
And the 98% of it is my cable internet.
Right.
And the one thing I can say from the cable provider is that the service is very good. But there's a caveat to that. There's a but there. We have very stringent data caps.
Right. Yeah. I remember you mentioning that at one point. Yeah.
It's gotten better for certain people, the ones that have the three services. So though it's like the mafia, we'll let you in, you know, but you got to have telephone and this and that.
Bundle
and
servicing.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Bundles. So they've got, if you do the bundle, they'll throw on unlimited for $10. which I think is a pretty good deal. In my case, my internet, I have 30 meg down, 3 up, I believe. I'd have to double check. It might be 10 up, but
you
I don't do a lot
30
of
down?
But I get 30 down, yeah.
Oh, I so hate you.
Oh, but hold on, there's a but to that.
Oh, right. How big's your data cap? How big's your cap?
I have 150 gig cap.
See, okay, see, I've got a 150, but, you know, yeah, I understand.
Oh, you've got a 150 cap, too?
I've got a 150 cap, yeah.
Oh, so do I.
I thought you said you had 50.
No, we used to have 50. It's gone up to 150.
Gotcha.
You have a cap, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's self-regulate. That's regulated on myself. Typically, as a household, we only consume right about 120. 150, with regulatory taxes and things like that, it's classified as overconsume. Don't ask me where the hell that all comes from, but it's some crazy crap. Anything over 150 is classified as excessive consumption, and that changes your tax rate on your service to something totally different.
That's interesting. Okay, do you get penalized per gig, for example?
No.
It's
a one-time penalty.
We do. We get, I believe you can go as high as $50 or $70.
Wow.
If you don't pay attention to your usage. I get notifications and stuff. And it's funny, you mentioned 120 per household. I use about 160 just myself.
Yeah.
But I stream everything. But yeah, so I'm doing about 150, 160. I'm usually teetering that cap, like I'm pretty close. And there are ways that you can purchase like bulks of data. They sell, I think it's 25 gig blocks for $5. So whatever, you know, if right. I go a bit higher, throw $5-$10 on it, I'm usually fine. But if you don't pay attention to it, and this is where they get you, you can get charges of up to $70. So I think they charge you $5-$6 a gig.
It's like in the old days when you'd go over on your minutes or something with your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Paying like 20 cents a minute outside of your plan.
Well, I can tell you from work, and I don't want to go off topic too much, but we have a bundle minutes at work for roaming. And the CEO went crazy, and we got some bill for like $6,000 or something.
Holy crap!
Yeah, he was like, not a minutes. We have a data and minute bundle,
uh-huh.
And he was like streaming movies and stuff, and during roaming, and it's like, no, do not do that. That is not a good. Here, man, they'll destroy you. And we had a huge bill and this huge controversy. And yeah, man, I'll just say this quickly, but I guess I don't want to divert off topic too much.
Sure.
If you're Canadian and you're going across the border and you don't have any kind of roaming plan, airplane mode all the way through.
Really? Is it that bad?
Oh, yeah. It'll get you bad. I mean, we're talking maybe $1, $1.50 a minute.
Holy crap.
And you're paying like per meg, not per gig, per meg. So like $5 a meg or
That's
something.
That's not even classified as high as HD, is it? Or is that with HD?
What's that?
You're talking video streaming, right?
No. I'm talking about per minute for calls.
Oh, wow.
$1 a minute, yeah.
Oh, and, wow.
And they're going to re me about, I'd say, $2 to $5 a megabyte in data.
$2 to $5 a meg?
It's crazy. There are ways to get packages to get it a little bit better, but what I recommend, if you're going across the border, use Wi-Fi for your data.
Right.
Or they have this, I think it's Roam Mobility, and they give you like 3 to 5 gig packages. But it's like a U.S. SIM, and you have to have an unlocked phone. But you
it's like
throw
a swap
in,
SIM is what it is.
You throw the SIM in, and then you just do what you got to do.
Cool.
So you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but these are very big concerns with us going across the border. Where was I? I'm talking about the services, right? Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about services.
Sorry. Okay. So I have my 30 down, which is the majority, like all of my downloading, my shows and stuff.
Right.
I used to do Hulu Plus, Netflix, sports streaming like NHL Game Center.
Is that like Sky Sports, equivalent to Sky Sports in the UK?
Well, the Game Center just gets you NHL.
Okay.
So, but the one thing they put in the fine print is it's black local blackouts. So my local hockey
team is drag. You're kidding me, right?
Imagine. So I'm giving them $170 of my hard-earned money for the privilege to watch the hockey games.
As long as they're not playing at home.
As long as they're not playing at home. So what I got to do then is throw a VPN on that. And there's a couple services. I used to use one called Wetopia, but I found actually another one that was cheaper and works a lot better because it just does the DNS level VPN, so you use your full speed. I was getting maybe about 10 down with Wetopia for the WWE network. For Unblock US, which does a DNS hack. So you just change the DNS settings on your router to point to them.
Right.
I can get the full 30 down, which is awesome. So,
wow.
It's $5 a month.
I've used a little program called Tunnel Bear. It's a VPN tunneling program is what it is. And I usually use it to get stuff off the UK. I used it to watch the Olympics last year.
Yeah, you can do Hola as well. Hola is a free browser plugin for Chrome.
Hola?
H-O-L-A, yeah. So,
I think I've heard that one.
Yeah, it's really good if you want to change your region and stuff. With the streaming, I found it's a bit iffy. Like, you're not going to get the 100%, but it's free. You know what I mean? So if you want to watch, say, for example, Canadians want to watch NBC shows, they throw their Hola plug in, and then it looks like they're coming from the U.S. and they can stream it off the site.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly, the best service I've seen though is the Unblock US. This new one I've tried, that's fantastic. So going back to topic again.
Yeah, sorry. Back to topic. Tangent.
Last year I had a project where I was pretty much a cord cutter, but I was using just like a desktop PC and streaming off browsers and stuff, and I'm like, you know what, I want to try to make this as much as the TV experience as possible. So I'm going in, I bought a Roku 3. Love the Roku 3, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, love it. It's like one of my favorite devices for legit stuff.
Right.
And I had a Roku 3 along with like a small form factor, but full-size, you know, PC.
Now, that's just a pure streaming stick, right? For video and music, right?
The Roku 3 is a streaming box. They do have a stick. But it's just a small set-top box, looks like a cable box, but half the size. And so I had that and kind of the PC for the other stuff I couldn't do legit. And so I bought my Hulu Plus subscription, bought my NHL Game Center, got my VPN, WWE Network.
For $9.99.
Well, not for me. Hold on. I'm not paying $9.99. I'm paying the conversion, which is now our dollar's going down, so it's around $13 or $12 plus you got to factor in VPN costs.
VPN costs, right?
Anyways. So it's hovering around $15-16.
Right.
Still worth it though.
Still cheaper. I mean, once you get to pay-per-views, it's still cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's a $16. So that was my setup. What I got pissed off about, the NHL Game Center blockouts was annoying. And then during playoff time, they have contracts with like NBC and that. So even if I was coming in from US, wouldn't work. England wouldn't work. I had to I was messing around with all my regions. And in order for me to watch the playoffs, for a service I paid for, by the way, I had to come in through Paris.
Paris?
Paris, France, because they don't have a deal with the NHL.
To watch American hockey?
To watch them.
Canadian hockey, sorry.
Play on it, but you're close. To watch my local team play on an American TV network, I had to come in through Paris.
Paris.
And I'm paying for this. Another annoyance, Hulu Plus, there's ads. There's like constant ads. There's a lot less ads than traditional TV. I actually timed it. Instead of 20 minutes per hour, it's 12 minutes per hour.
But still annoying.
I'm paying the privilege to watch TV shows to get 12-minute-an-hour ads.
Right.
And also, all the shows aren't available. Sometimes, some shows, there'd be like missing weeks and stuff like that. So I was like, this sucks, man. Why am I paying for this, you know? But the one thing I do really enjoy is Netflix. And I get to the U.S. version, and Canadians always complain about the Canadian Netflix. The main thing we don't have is the TV shows. The selection
really?
Of TV shows. Yeah, garbage.
So you guys don't get like Arrow and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nope.
And like all the CSIs and all that, like the crime dramas and things?
No, and actually one good way to tell, because there's no easy way to tell if you got the American version. There's no like little flag or something. It just loads. And Netflix is kind of getting smarter to the cord cutters, because it's statistically 1 in 3 Canadian Netflix users uses the VPN.
So, 1 in 3.
1 in 3.
That's 33% boys and girls. That is statistically pretty high for a situation like this.
Because you figure that the number of people who are technologically inclined isn't that high. So it's people going to their friends saying, hey, get this thing so you can get free, you know, U.S. Netflix. So it's like layman's, just Jack and Diane of like, the technological world.
You can't get any more layman than Jack and Diane. That's for damn sure.
You know what I mean? So, but what, one way to tell is if you can access Arrow on your Netflix, right. Little tip there for the Canadians, you have the U.S. Netflix.
Ah, see. Now, do you guys get CW up there on Hulu or anything like that, or is that...
Keep in mind, too, Hulu is only accessible via VPN.
Oh.
Yeah, so in order to get these services, I got to do a little bit of gray area stuff.
Sure.
Pretending like I'm coming in from a U.S. address.
Yeah. You said you got to have an Ohio address that you tap every once in a while, right?
Actually, yeah. It's either that or I have a Plattsburgh kind of mailing box. Plattsburgh, New York, which is just across the border from Montreal.
Right.
About an hour drive.
Not bad.
If I order stuff on Amazon, I could have it shipped there and then cross the border and pick it up and kind of do that. So I just use them as my mailing address.
Nice.
Yeah. And you can use a, but then you run into the other roadblock of, oh, hey, hold on. Your credit card's not American. You're not allowed. So there's ways around it. Obviously, if you have a U.S. address, you can get a U.S. credit card. That'd be the easiest way. But for us who don't have like the full, I can't go to a bank and use like my Mail Depot address as a credit card. They're going to be like, get out of here. So
Mail Depot?
Yeah, that's what I use for like WWE Network.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't really care like what address you're coming from.
Is that a Canadian version of a post office box? Just
no, it's in Plattsburgh. It's called the Border Mail Depot. It's right on the border, Champlain, New York, and you just deliver all your packages there. It's great.
Wow.
So, anyways, sorry.
Nope, no big.
So a lot of these services. You have to show some kind of U.S. address. You can fake it. They won't really – they're not too anal on it. But then they want that U.S. credit card. So that other step, you have to get a – I recommend it's called Entropay, E-N-T-R-O-P-A-Y.
Right.
It's like a foreign bank. I don't know where they're from, coming from. I don't care. But it attaches like a prepaid U.S. card number. So you kind of fill that card up with cash, and then you can make purchases, and the U.S. companies will accept it. The majority will. Some don't. WWE Network, no problem. Netflix, no problem. Hulu Plus, no problem. Amazon Prime, they got a little smarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos raised a stink about where your credit card came from.
But here's the weird thing. If I make purchases on Amazon.com, like items, and I have it shipped to the U.S., no problem. I can use a Canadian credit card. But for Amazon Prime, the streaming video service, they want a credit card that attaches to a U.S. address. In my case, my virtual credit card doesn't do that. So I kind of fake it by giving a fake address. And they're like, no, this doesn't, I'm not comfortable with this, or this doesn't make sense.
Right.
We're rejecting your purchase. So them and Vudu. Have you ever heard of Vudu?
Oh, yes. I've heard of Vudu.
So Vudu does the same thing. So Vudu, in order to get these two services, I'm not saying it's impossible, but you'd have to either have a U.S. friend who doesn't mind giving you their credit card number. That's a pretty good friend, I'm thinking.
I was going to say, that's a pretty good friend, yeah.
That's a pretty good friend. Maybe a family member who lives across the border, who does vacationing or whatever. Or you would need somehow have a U.S. address and get a bank to give you a credit card. So it's a bit more of a challenge. So that's some of the stuff I was running into. And another thing I was looking into was the Sling TV. You heard of it?
Yes, I have. Sling TV is actually compatible with the Roku 3, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't tried that yet. So for the listeners, if you've tried Sling TV and you're not American, tell me how that goes. Because I'm curious if they'll be smart enough like Amazon and ask for the actual thing with a U.S. address. I'm guessing because they're new. And because a lot of these companies, they kind of don't care unless they're being pushed. Netflix is very well aware of Canadians coming in. And so they kind of do their due diligence. They, you know, they make it difficult enough so that the copyright people kind of say, okay. But it's in their interest to allow it because they're making all kinds of money, right? They don't care where the money's coming from.
Right.
They don't care where you're connected from. It's just they got to kind of show that they're making an effort, I guess, as a copyright protector. So anyways,
Netflix has been under a lot of scrutiny recently with all this net neutrality crap going on. And this is where cord cutting is starting to make its impact. Because the cable providers, the internet providers, the landline phone providers, the guys that are all, they've got this huge hard-on to throw you a package deal. The Comcasts, the Charters, the Time Warners, they're starting to feel the crunch. That's why they're putting Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime on the hot seat. Because guess what? They're not getting their money anymore. The folks like Hulu and Sling TV, all the Sling boxes, they're getting the money. The folks that are running remote XBMC, they're getting the money. Netflix, they're getting the money. So now they're trying to figure out bullshit ways to make some of that money back. And to be completely honest, they're not winning. And I think they're starting to feel the crunch. And they have yet to change their policies down here. I don't know what it's like up there, but still it's bundle service. You know, if you want internet, you've got to get TV with it. And if you want internet and TV to save the $20 a month, you've got to get the landline phone for like $5 or some crazy crap like that. That's where you get your discount. It still hasn't come down to a spot where I'm content paying for it, but, from what I understand, it has started to decrease a little, and I say that very literally. You know where you know it could be. Right now, I'm paying a little over $200 for all the family. You know, phone, internet, movies, TVs. You know, all that stuff. That's what I'm paying. You know, this is still a little out there when you factor everything else in. And I think that it's taken time, but the cord cutters are finally starting to have the voice that they were never allowed to have before. You know, and I think big business, the big cable companies are feeling that pinch. Now, what they're actually going to do about it in the future, heaven knows, because, you know, just like any other big business, getting them to understand sense is always the hardest thing to do on the face of the earth. You know, and have you started to notice any change like that up in your way, Mr. Old School?
It's funny you mentioned it. There's the CRTC, Canadian Television Radio Commission, whatever. They regulate what gets put on TV.
Right.
And stuff like that. They actually are looking into now setting like a local bundle or a prepackaged bundle and fixing a price on it, which I think is interesting. I'm never a huge fan of government intervention. I'm more American on that, I think, more of a libertarian. I prefer free market. But when you're running into the infrastructure that we have now, what I mentioned earlier, where very few players, because of a guaranteed territory, it runs into issues where you have problems with competition and prices stay higher because you don't have 3, 4, 5 different cable providers that you can go to at a blink of an eye and say, well, you're screwing me over. I'm just going to go with this guy. And if that were the case, then you would see a lot of, you know, you wouldn't see these bundles. You'd see you'd pick, you know, pay for whatever you want. You know, say if you just wanted a sports channel, you would just get the sports channel.
Right.
But in this case, because of the oligopoly, they have the ability to do pretty much whatever they want. And it's kind of like, it's a catch-22 because, yes, you kind of need the government intervention, but you don't want them in there because it's just going to get complicated. And even this net neutrality thing you mentioned before, it's going to hurt your Netflix connection, actually. You think it's going to help it. Here's the thing that Netflix doesn't really mention. Say if I'm a Comcast subscriber, when I'm accessing a Netflix movie, I'm not going directly to Netflix. Netflix actually installs servers directly in Comcast or all the different providers.
Right.
So that it's quicker to access so that you don't have to go directly to the Netflix farms and say, butt fuck Idaho. You go, you know, you're in New York, you're going to New York proper, you're hitting the Comcast Central, and you're getting the movie from there. So it's a lot faster. Net neutrality, theoretically, will get rid of that, and it's actually going to be slower for you to get that YouTube clip or to get that Netflix movie, because Netflix is kind of doing a bit of an unfair advantage where they'll go to the provider and they'll say, listen, I'll host this at your place. I ain't going to pay you for it, but if you don't want it, I'll send it to your buddy, and then it's going to be slower for you. So they say, okay, and they let them in. But that's technically an unfair advantage to say, like a Vudu, where you would have to go directly to Vudu to access their stuff because they don't have those deals. So right. It's something to factor in. But again, it's kind of a weird. We're in a weird place where we need the government's help to regulate it, to get those prices down and to get, you know, fair competition. But the second you let them in, man, it's we're talking about potential monitoring, regulation of the internet, which I don't think any true user of the internet wants. You know, we're podcasters, we're doing this for free, we get to say what we want. What if the government comes in and says, well, I don't like what you're saying, you know, or hey, you want to be a podcaster, well, you got to pay a fee for that, you know. So that's unfortunately where it might be going, and that's why I don't like government intervention.
And I can agree, the government has its place in a lot of things. I don't know if you've been following some of the political stories that have been floating around in our neck of the woods recently. But there's a lot of uproar going on over various improper behaviors and things of that nature. And it's a guy like me sits back and laughs just for the simple fact that years ago, I was placed in a situation where I never ran for political office, but I've interviewed plenty in my tenure on this earth. And one of them, I asked a very pointed question, and he gave me a very ambiguous answer. And I looked at him, I said, you know something? I hate to say it, but I don't believe you. And he looked at me, he's like, well, I guess I've got some proving to do. I said, I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You follow through, and I will write you a letter of apology. And unfortunately, you know, I'll never have to write that letter because you proved me wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's one of the issues, too. Politicians don't know how the internet works.
Right.
You know, you ask them what net neutrality is, and they'll give you 8 different answers that are extremely vague, and most of them probably won't make any sense.
How delightfully ambiguous. That's...
Well, that's the thing. We're talking about lawyers, or we're talking about physicians or whatever. There's not a lot of technology people in politics, really, because it doesn't pay to be in it, you know? Well, maybe for some people it does, if you're the Clintons, but let's not get into that. But, you know, there's not enough smart to technology. I'm not saying they're not smart, but they're just not aware of how the technology works, or they don't have the right people working with them to explain how it works. And so do you really want, you know, these senators and these congressmen or men and women to control how the internet works? It's just, I don't know. It's a really slippery slope. And even up north here too, it's not as prevalent, the issue, but there are issues where, you know, our major telcos are limiting bandwidth for Skype and Netflix and stuff like that. So it's not as apparent, you know, but it's definitely a concern up here too. Right. If I can just possibly go back to what I was talking about before, the legit stuff.
Go right ahead.
So I went all legit, bought my Roku 3 and paid for my services. Got MLS, the soccer. I like Major League Soccer, big fan. And spent around, I would say, with the router and the equipment and the subscriptions, around $700 that year. Which, you know, it comes to about $50-$60 a month, whatever. It's right. It was kind of close to the cable when I would have paid for cable. But I really wanted to try it to see if it would be, if I can go the legit route. And I found just the value and the annoyance of having to go around certain things. I said, you know what? Okay, this year I'm going to go completely 180, and I'm going to steal everything. I'm going to see if this year, if I can get just as good at whatever and pay the least amount as possible. So now I'm averaging for my, say, just cable. The only thing I pay for is the WWE Network. So, and that I paid for in bulk. I buy my 1 year subscription. And, if I got $100 lying around, boom, I'll throw it on there.
Right.
And so now basically my monthly cost is my VPN, which is $5. And I can tell you what I get with that. I get, have you ever heard of Kodi?
No.
Kodi's the newest version of XBMC. It was recently released. Fantastic interface. I have it on a window. I bought an HP Stream Mini, which is about the size of a set-top box. It's a Windows 8 install, 32 gig of flash, 2 gig memory. So not a lot of memory, but I don't do a lot on it, so it's fine. And I just throw that in my entertainment unit, throw an Ethernet cable on it, and I install Kodi with a remote. And from there, I can get high-def NHL games. So what I was paying for the 160, I get for free. I get all the TV shows and movies, and I can set up like favorites. So I click on Saturday. I'm a big fan of Saturday Night Live. I click on Saturday Night Live. Boom! All the streaming sites that have all the HD links. I just click on it. One doesn't work. I just go to the next one with my remote. Super easy to use.
And this is hosted through XBMC.
Yeah. So XBMC, now known as Kodi, has a plugin called TV Add-ons. Shout out to TV Add-ons. You guys are awesome. And they have different programs. One called Genesis. One called Phoenix. And from there, you can get, from the Genesis part, you can get pretty much, and I had trouble finding a TV show. You get any TV show, any movies. And I'm talking recent stuff. You get screeners, you get DVD, whatever. Great quality, no problems, works flawless on my $200 Windows box. And you can get even Android boxes. You can install it on your Note 3. You could buy a Raspberry Pi for $35 and put it on there. You know, like, it's the platforms are endless. It's great. It works seamlessly on all the platforms.
And that's Kodi, C-O-D-Y.
K-O-D-I.
K-O-D-I.
And it's a really easy install. It's really not hard to do. And you can buy a Windows remote for like $10 on DealExtremeDX.com or Amazon. You can get these Windows Media Center remotes.
Uh-huh.
They work perfect with it. Just the USB interface RF works great.
Because that seriously piques my interest. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about this. And I mean, we use... We get, depending on where you live in the United States, you can get between 10 and 15 channels just OTA. And this, it just looks like it's wow.
But the one thing it doesn't do that great, it's starting to get a bit better, is the live TV stuff.
Okay.
So are you familiar with First Row Sports?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So there is a plugin called Sports Devil. And this is how Kodi works, XBMC. It's the base of it, it's a fantastic media center. So for your music, your legit movies, whatever you have. And then you get all these like quote-unquote illegal plugins. And you just and all these add-ons were what give you all this like, you know, illegal stuff. And I hate saying illegal. It's not like you're, you know, smoking crack or you're stealing.
I was going to say, it's not like you are, because it's being hosted by XBMC. I need to clarify for those playing the home game, XBMC is Xbox Media Center. Doesn't necessarily have to be hosted on your Xbox, but it is part of the home-friendly Microsoft version. Back to you, Mr. Old School.
Yeah, that's actually why they changed the name to Kodi. It's because they didn't want to be... perceived as an Xbox kind of thing. It's really evolved now into a separate entity. And it was on the backbone originally of the Xbox Media Center stuff, but it's really gone to kind of its own thing now. Huh. But I mean, the interface hasn't changed or anything, but I think they want to change their identity a bit and really not be seen as kind of an Xbox kind of clone or whatever.
Which I think is smart, considering that they're giving the entire company a facelift right now with the new directions of their operating systems and the things that they're producing software-wise, as well as user-wise. I think getting away from the XBMC mantra and then changing the name to Kodi, I think that just gets it away from the feel of Microsoft, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Absolutely, I agree 100%.
All right.
So yeah, it's just for people playing the home game. You go, just Google Kodi, K-O-D-I, download it. Pretty easy download to run. Once that's installed, you want to go to tvaddons.ag, and that will get you the plugin to get access all the, again, quote-unquote, illegal content. I don't care. You know, like people, oh, it's stealing. Nah. To me, a copy, you know, it's not like you're taking bread out of somebody's covered, you know.
No, they've already been paid for it.
It's already there. You're just making, you know. So I don't know. I guess I was raised in that thing where just I don't care,
right?
And sometimes do I. But here's the thing: I will support artists that I believe in. You know, I'll buy music for. I'll pay for the digital download for an artist that, especially indie artists.
Okay, but what it comes down to, though, Mr. Old School, is would you ever pay for the digital download of 50 Shades of Grey?
Absolutely. And if you listen to my review on, you go to oldschoolmovies.net to the archive page, there's a 2-hour live review of 50 Shades. And all I do is praise this movie. It's probably the greatest movie I've ever seen. The sex scenes are fantastic. The acting is just phenomenal. And obviously I'm joking. Just want to clarify that for everybody's.
I was going to say next thing you're going to say, you'll download the entire Twilight series.
I own it on Blu-ray. I own the collector's edition. Mm-hmm. I'm Team Edward, whatever, the wolf guy, whatever. I'm totally Team Edward. So, yeah, so Cody's been great, and I've had no, like, regrets. I don't mind stealing stuff. Screw it. Because it's not illegal here to leech.
Right.
It's legal to seed. It's not illegal to leech. So until that law changes, I'm happy. So the only thing you can't do, really, is the streaming TV. You can't. You got to look. Phoenix is another plugin that comes with TV add-ons. And now they got Phoenix TV. And, like, I can get TSN is kind of like the ESPN equivalent in Canada. They have 5 digital channels. I can get them all in HD. So there's certain – you got to look, though. And it's the one thing, if you're going kind of the – quote unquote illegal route, you got to be patient, you have to read up, and you have to not mind to muck with stuff.
Right.
If you're the type of guy where you just want to turn it on and have it work, do not go down this route. You will lose have a lot of sleepless nights and get stressed and get pissed off. You have to be the guy that likes to tinker with this stuff. But if you don't mind doing that and you want to save some money, Cody's the way to go, man.
It's like you talked about this Phoenix, which is part of the TVaddons.ag, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Down here, I discovered something called Pluto, Pluto TV. It's part of the Android marketplace or market Android Play Store. And it's not like mainstream TV, but I mean, they've got news and tech shows and sports shows and just a bunch of things that you'd probably find on maybe a B-rate TV show. It's not mainstream stuff, but I mean, it's got a lot of neat content on it. You know, it's got 5 or 6 different types of music streaming and 5 or 6 different types of news, whether it be CNN, world, local, national, things of that nature. It's got 3 different types of weather channels without even having it in front of me. And that is something that I can pull up on my phone. I can send it straight to my Chromecast and I'm not going to say it's the same as what you're talking about with Phoenix, but it sounds kind of similar. This isn't something that you have to muck with. I mean, it's the programming's built into the app, and you either watch it or you don't. You can change channels or you don't. Or, you know, there's not really any fine-tuning to it. It's already set up going through the app. And, it sounds similar to what your Phoenix is, but your Phoenix sounds a little bit more like genuine real deal TV, where Pluto would be not so genuine, but, you know, there's ways around that TV.
You mentioned this a lot, where somebody goes to you for a phone, and I say this now, you took my sauce thing, I take your, what do you want it to do thing?
Yeah.
And so I think it comes down to, what are your entertainment habits? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? You just want to watch movies? Because if you do, Netflix might just be enough.
Yeah.
You know? Why go through all this stuff?
Well, for the longest time, Netflix was all I had for probably close to a year. And then I discovered this thing called Amazon Prime.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, so they've got movies. Oh, they've got more TV shows. Oh, wait a minute. I can stream music? Oh, what? Music videos? What? You know, I mean, now granted, some of the stuff that they have gets repetitious and boring. But one library to another is very exciting because there might be a lot of things that they repeat. But if I'm going through Netflix and saying, yeah, I've seen all this stuff already, and I jump to Amazon, they might have another season of whatever it was I was just watching, you know, and they might even have the complete season available for rent for $5 or $10, you know, and that's where the two big differences between those two, you know, Netflix or Amazon. Do you want to watch, you know, do you want to flood yourself with TV? Do you, you know, with TV shows and what's the term it's used? Where you sit down and you watch an entire season start to finish.
A binge watch. Yeah.
Thank you, binge watching. You know, oh, I want to binge watch this until I can't, you know, I can't stay awake anymore or something like that. Or, you know, I want to be able to watch, you know, certain movies, or whether it be classic movies or current movies that didn't quite make this particular cookie style, or pay $4.99 or $3.99 for a movie that's a year old or 2 years old, or, you know, see if I got Amazon Prime. You know, Netflix and Amazon are definitely viable entities. You know, for those that are interested in streaming TV content, this Kodi looks like it would be very interesting. I know Sling TV is becoming more and more viable for a lot of people, depending on where they live. There's actually a line of Blu-ray players where they are Wi-Fi compatible, and they're also Sling TV compatible. You can turn them into Sling boxes without breaking a sweat. There's plenty of how-tos to convert any type of old computer into a Sling box without any problem. There's this TVaddons.ag that Mr. Old School talked about. There's this Phoenix that he was talking about. You know, what are your entertainment needs? And I know I kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent. I tried to bring it back to home base, Mr. Old School. Back to you. What are your entertainment needs?
My entertainment needs are, because I'm a Canadian, eh?
Hey.
Canadian, eh? I gotta watch my NHL hockey. You know, Montreal Canadiens are doing pretty good. I think we're going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Sorry, Brian, but I think the Pens are going down in the playoffs. So NHL was a big thing for me, and it's a big reason why people kind of stick with cable for the most part.
Right.
Because of the Game Center blackouts, you know, and that's why I got so frustrated last year. Giving you $170, I can't even watch my local game. So I did a bit of research, and I found this plugin for Phoenix for TV add-ons that allows me to get the NHL for free. And so I say, listen, you know, I was going to pay. You want to screw me over? I'm not paying it, you know, like. I'm spiteful like that. If I'm giving you my hard-earned money, you're not giving me what I want, then I'm just going to steal it. Screw you. So NHL hockey is a big one for me. And movies, of course, because old school with the movies.
Right.
So I want to keep up on all my movies. And a big fan of Saturday Night Live, Better Call Saul, a great spinoff of Breaking Bad, really good show.
Okay.
And Shark Tank, I like my Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
So I got my shows I like to watch. And sometimes I like to have TV on in the background, but not often. Kembo Trek is actually one. He bought a cable subscription because he was so used to having the TV just kind of sitting in the background doing its thing. And I said, well, you know, I can show you if you want to do coding. He's like, nah, I don't care. I'll just pay. So, but that's, you still get a large majority of the people who just don't want to deal with it. And if that's your route where you kind of, you're in the middle, I would say that Sling TV might be very interesting. You can get yourself a Roku box, Roku 3 box, or under $100. And for $20 a month, you can get pretty much the main stuff, your ESPN, CNN and stuff. And that's pretty much what people watch. So
right.
If you're the type of guy you like having your stuff on the background, or you're not sure what to choose, you like to be kind of spoon-fed entertainment, Sling TV and maybe Hulu Plus or Amazon Prime, that should be fine. And that's going to run you in around $30-$35 a month, which is pretty good.
Now, just out of curiosity, what are you guys paying for Sling services up there?
Just to keep in mind, we're not allowed to have that.
Okay. Never mind. Then I don't want to know.
They don't have any kind of real similar service. unless you're a part of a cable company. Like, they came out with this thing, Bell came out with this thing called Crave TV. Which is their Netflix equivalent, but they came in at a good price point, $4. And they've got a lot of content deals, Bell. Bell's pretty big here. So Crave TV is pretty good. And you know, you hear the commercial, $4 a month, anything you want, TV shows. And you're like, yeah, this sounds good. So I did the search for Crave TV. Oh, provided you're a Bell subscriber.
Oh, that's where they get you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once again, rinse and repeat, you get your bundle service for your internet, bundle service, add on your 100 and some odd channels that you'll never use of TV. Don't forget your landline. And okay.
And then,
you can get the $4 a month.
Canadian Netflix, you know, equivalent for $4. So, yeah, so that I looked at it for 3 seconds. My bullshit filter went off. I'm like, okay, screw this. But I'm telling you, man, it's some of the challenges up north, you know, you really got to be a patient. You have to circumvent copyright laws. So you got to be comfortable with that. But, you know, if you don't mind doing that, you don't mind working a bit harder with VPNs and stuff, you can definitely get an American experience north of the border.
Right.
So, and this is for any Canadians, if you guys are listening and you want help with either the legal stuff, the semi-legal or the quote unquote illegal, hit me up on Twitter. I'll be glad to help you, because this has really become a fascination for me. I'm like kind of the equivalent of the woman who wants to repaint her house every year, and then the husband gets pissed off because he has to, like, why do you want to paint it? It's fine. Like, no, but I got to change it. I want to do something different. For me, that's my media center. Once a year, I have like I kind of criticize everything I got going down. I'm so, how can I improve this? How can I improve this? And I'm always constantly tinkering with it. I think you're kind of similar in that regard.
Yeah. I like to tinker with things. I like to figure out what makes them do what they're supposed to do. I like to push the limits as to what as to what it should and should not be able to do, especially if I know that there are the means and the capability to accomplish a particular set of skill, a particular task. Sorry, I went taken on you. yeah. So you know, if I know, okay, this service by rights, it can do this, but I know somewhere in there I can, you know, stand on my head or push and pry or maybe inject a slot or line of code in there or something like that to get it to give me just a little more, or get onto a dev site and say, hey, look, you know, has anybody ever run into this? I'm sure there has. You know, maximizing what I have available, and I just seeing the way things like that evolve and change and continue to improve is exciting to me. Just for the simple fact that, my God, people just in general, more and more, especially the younger generation. And I use that term rather loosely because I am 41. Now, folks that are older than me, like in their 50s and 60s, they're going to do what they've always done. They're going to pay money to the cable company. That's just the way it works. Yeah. These are also the people that are very difficult to get a cell phone because they have a landline and they're content with that. These are also people who still run either dial-up or very slow internet, okay? So, you know, however, the people that are younger than, say, 45, 15 to 40, I'd even venture as young as 10 to 45, current generation, this is what they do. I mean, they are like, look, I'm going to college. I'm going to be butt-fuck broke. I don't want to spend, you know, pay $50 extra in rent for this when I could spend it on drinking money. You know, I want to be able to enjoy my college years. I don't want to have to worry about this crap. And believe it or not, college kids already know how to do this stuff. I mean, my first exposure to cord cutting was over 10 years ago. And it was by a dorm room full of college kids. And I'm like,
it's that a necessity too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They do, like, dude, check this out. What? Like, check, you know, they're just pulling shit up. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, what the heck? Like, what's this from? Like, yeah, we just downloaded it. Have a watch. Okay. You know, I mean, a lot of it is out of necessity, just like it is on your end of the world, Mr. Old School. I mean, you guys do a lot of things out of necessity. I do a lot of things out of necessity. You know, the common thing is we're tired of paying the outrageous, the cable bill. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It. We're not getting what we pay for. We want to utilize a service that we're going to use. And we're content with paying, you know, whether it be $11 for Netflix or $100 a year for Amazon or $13 a month for WWE or $20 a month for NHL. You know, we're content to pay that because it's giving us what we're paying for instead of having this oligopoly come in and, you know, we're paying $150, $250, $350 a month to use a third of this service, and even then, it's not fulfilling what it's supposed to. And it just, you know, think the trend is changing, and it's continuing to change very quickly.
Yeah, and it is, and there's so many options out there, and it's
you
mentioned a lot of stuff. Another thing too is just the traditional way we see content is changing too.
Oh, you know, hell yeah.
Like
hell
we're looking at, you know, if I said, okay, what are you doing Friday at 8 o'clock? You know, if I asked you 20 years ago, I'd be watching Full House or I'd be watching Family Matters. You sit home watching the TV. Now kids are just on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they do.
For
sure.
They don't
even watch TV. They don't watch a movie. I've had days where I've had friends over, four or five friends. We're just sitting there. We're just pulling up YouTube clips and laughing and having fun. And, you know, like, and we're not even watching anything specific.
Right.
But you know, I'll say, oh, do you see that video? Is it that? And that, from that, it goes to an entire night of experience where we're just essentially just almost being like video DJs where we're just picking up stuff that we've seen or we're sharing with people. And it's a really different experience than watching channel 22 at 8 o'clock and just everybody kind of does that. So it's kind of branched off like that. It's also run into, I don't know if you've had this issue before. Like I've been on Netflix and I'm saying to myself, all right, what am I watching? And I've had parts where I've spent 30 upwards of 45 minutes trying to choose something. I don't know if you've had this problem.
I've had it.
It's our age group where we're so used to being fed stuff. Now that we've been given the reins, we don't know what to do and we can't make a decision, you know, like unless there are times I specifically want to see a movie, but I can't imagine the amount of times, Piper, the amount of time in total that I've wasted deliberating on what I should watch.
That's one thing I like about the mobile space being what it is, because if I can't figure out what I want to watch, I shut the TV off, put in my earplugs, and I'll strike up a music stream on Amazon.
But you're being fed a music stream.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
We're so used to just turn on the TV and whatever we're getting.
Right.
Now that we've been given this choice, it's like,
yeah,
we're like idiots. We don't know. Like
drool fool. must have more.
Am I watching? Am I watching Scarlett Johansson's movie or am I watching Jolie's movie? And it's like, and then like half an hour later, I was like, I'll watch this. But just the amount of time that I've wasted. And so now they actually have websites to kind of help you decide what to watch. I mean, they've got recommendations. Netflix, Amazon have recommendations and stuff. But you can pull in like kind of Pandora, the music streaming service,
right,
based on your taste. There's Found with 2 D's. You can kind of search. Metacritic's good. There's a couple of websites. If you just search, like, help me choose stuff for us indecisive old people who just don't understand. Like, and I'm curious, too, if the listeners have this issue, because you said you have this issue. Like, I'm curious, like, do you guys just sit in front of Netflix for half an hour and, like, the fuck am I picking, you know? Like,
you go through every category and you're like, no, well, maybe, no. Okay, next one, A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay, F, no, well, maybe, no. You know, it just, yeah. Yeah. How many times do you just sit there and you go through until eventually somebody that's there with you goes like, will you just pick something, damn it?
Piper, you know, it's every fucking night for me. It drives me nuts, man.
You know, most of the time, I'm just fine to sit, because by the time I get home from school, most of the time, I'm just so tired, I just want to sit and I want to vegetate until I've got to pick my ass up, go back to the computer center, and start working on homework. And I just need a little bit of time to unwind. I don't care what's on there. You know, yes, I'm being fed the content, but, you know, it comes down to I just need something besides intellectual stimulation, you know.
And that's where we run into the issue with kind of the Cody stuff. And for the most part, it works fine.
Right.
But when you're in that mode, where you're like, oh, I just don't care. I want to put it. And then like, oh, the stream doesn't work. And then like, you're like, okay, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, you don't want to go online and do a research. Oh, is it down? Why is it down? And then you try to post on a forum and everybody's a dick. Because, well, yeah, but didn't you check this other forum post?
Right.
Why are you reposting this, asshole? You know? Or like that Captain Awesome just, hey, idiots. Like,
hey, yeah. Idiots. Yeah.
You know, it's like those guys. So you're like, fuck you, you know, I don't want to deal with you. So it really depends on my mood. But for the most part, I've really enjoyed Cody. He's been pretty stable in that. But there are those times where, like you said, you just finished like 8-12 hours of work. You're like, fuck off. You just want to sit down and watch whatever. You don't care. And that's kind of where my Roku kind of takes over. So I have Twit Network, which is a great podcasting network.
Great Neil podcasting Laporte. Network, yes.
Yeah, I have that on there. I'll throw in some WWE, or I've got, what's the network with Geekbeat there? I'm hitting the blank there. But it's another kind of Twit Network where you just kind of stream stuff. And so I think for people our age, Piper, maybe it's young people too, are indecisive. You got to have the two options. And there are still times where kind of the feeding me content is still applicable.
Feed me more. Feed me more.
Content.
Yeah, feed me more content. Yeah. Yeah, excellent. I mean, we always, there are very few times I run into an individual who is a cord cutter, whether it be self-proclaimed or qualifying for whatever, who has just one type of service.
Yeah,
they always have, and down here, ironically, down here, the most popular are Netflix and Amazon Prime. Those are the two most popular. A, because Netflix has all the cool movies, and B, because Amazon, not only do you get movies and music, but you also get the shipping crap that goes along with that, you know? So seeing the streaming capabilities that we're seeing with TV, you know, that you're telling us about. I mean, I've got notes sitting right down here in front of me. Cody on XBMC, TVaddons.ag, Phoenix, you know, you've got my interest perked on this. Okay?
Absolutely. And you know, like, if you guys are really, and you're not too much into the NHL, because the reason I got my Windows box, I know you're like, yeah, Windows, whatever, but the reason I got the Windows box is because in order to get the NHL, you got to kind of do a hack with Python, and you have to have a Windows install. But for if you just don't care about that, and you want more of the movies and the TV shows, and they do streaming sports, First Row Sports plugin for Sports Devil works fine. So it just, in my particular case, I need a Windows box, but if not, there are Android set-top boxes for under $120.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That works seamless with Cody. Works beautiful. They're silent. They're fanless. They stream great. No lag. As long as you have a decent connection, I'd recommend maybe 10 down or higher. But for if you're single, probably maybe even 5 would be fine, because you're going, your streams are about 5 meg. So 5 to 10 and an Android box and decent internet, a bandwidth cap, you know, as long as you're American, you're fine. If you're Canadian, have around 120, 150 a month to be good.
Now, does Cody stream to Chromecast, or does it require something that is not something a little bit more sophisticated than Chromecast?
Yeah, Chromecast, it won't work.
Okay.
One thing I do recommend for Chromecast, if you have it and you have a computer at home, which pretty much everybody does.
A computer? What is this? What?
Okay. Chromecast, have you heard of Plex?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
often.
So what's cool about Plex is essentially it turns your PC into a media server. So you can have a Windows 7 box, for example, install Plex on there. And as long as the Chromecast can talk to, is on the same network as your Windows 7 stuff,
right,
you can stream movies and TV shows that you've downloaded on the Chromecast and onto your TV. So it's kind of like the cheapest way to turn your, you know, your PC into, say, a PVR or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as you download your stuff, then, you know, instead of, you know, running a cable from your computer, say, to your TV, or you plug your computer directly into the TV or laptop, you can kind of use that Chromecast as that middleman device anywhere in your house, and then you can kind of stream stuff. In terms of Kodi with Chromecast, I don't believe it works. You would need something a little higher powered. Like an Android set-top box, right, or a Note 3 smartphone.
I was going to say, most of those Android boxes, you can use a retired cell phone.
Okay.
Just wipe it. I mean, my Note 2, I actually stumbled across this one, turning my Note 2 into a set-top box. Okay. Now, granted, it doesn't have an IR blaster built into it, but no big deal. I mean, I can just walk up and change the channel. I mean, you know, I'm not there, that
dense. Maybe you get some kind of Bluetooth remote?
Perhaps. I mean, it's still got the Bluetooth 2 in it, Bluetooth 3. So, I mean, it'll be able to do it without any problem. And is it something that's really that important to me? Not really. Yeah. But the fact that I could repurpose my device with just a little bit of tweaking and fine tuning to turn it into a set-top box. I mean, you know, you and I have had conversations about it, Mr. Old School, the pros and cons of the Samsung devices. And I just recently lost my favor for Samsung, but, you know, being able to take this old device that used to be my pride and joy and repurpose it into part of my household is cool. I look at that, I'm like,
yeah,
that's intense.
That's fun. I love repurposing old gadgets.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because like, it's still a good gadget.
It is. No, absolutely. And as a set-top box to run Kodi, the Note 2 is perfect for that.
I was going
to
say, that Note 2, if you get it cleaned out, that's an ox of a device. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Given the proper hookups and everything like that, it could be an all-in-one computer system. Now, granted, it's Android-based, but, you know, you still have that means and that capability. And, you know, so just switching it over to get it to run on this Kodi system, I think if it can, you know, this is going to be something that I'll definitely have to revisit with you because I'm definitely, you know, listening to you talk about this Kodi thing. I definitely think I could be able to get something to work with a couple repurposed Android devices and maybe raise some eyebrows here and, you know, get some other people in the household a little bit happier. You know, like I said, we've been cord cutters for a while and every once in a while something, hey, I wonder what it, you know, can we watch whatever, fill in the blank. Well, the last big thing was the Winter Olympics. I said, I don't think I can, I don't have a stream on those anywhere. But sure enough, a little bit of tinkering around, I was able to find I could tunnel in, going through, where did I go through?
BBC.
I think I went straight through BBC, yeah. I think I went straight through the BBC, and I was able to stream them that way. You know, so, and it just, I'd be interested to know if this Kodi would be able to communicate and work properly and efficiently with the repurposed Android device. And
I wouldn't see why not. I think the chipset's powerful enough to do it.
Really?
And the community is extremely popular on the Android side.
Huh.
A lot of people use set-top boxes, and I'm sure people repurpose phones. As long as you've got an output, I'm guessing, for HDMI, some kind of a converter.
I have one in my repertoire, yes.
Yeah, so that's all you need, man. I mean, and you can even probably watch it directly on the screen, too.
Wow.
I know the Note phones are extremely powerful.
Yes, they are.
You know, it's not, we're not talking about my little basic Nokia Windows phone here, you know, like, although it's fine for me, you know, the Note 2, you're launching satellites and you're doing MacGyver shit. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I got to give you that.
I tell you what, no matter how many times you say that, it still brings a smile to my face. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so was there anything else that we needed to touch on? We've been on this call including pre-show as well as now, getting close to the two-hour mark, Mr. Old School. We've covered, in my opinion, I think we've covered a lot of territory, as well as defining what cord cutting could be to the average individual, but also why do you need to become a cord cutter, what do you need to do in order to become a cord cutter, as well as various things that you can utilize just to get started in this wonderful thing that we call cord cutting. Is there anything else that we may have missed on this one?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. And as per regular, we usually always go over time and we completely missed all the mobile topics we were supposed to discuss. We'd spent 2 hours just on five cord cutting topics,
which is true. But as an individual who sets out a schedule every time, I always have more than I know that I'm going to be getting into. Just for the simple fact, I don't want to bore everybody that's out there. And yes, we did have some. I did have some Microsoft stuff that I wanted to talk to you about. Various things of that nature, because you are my advocate for Microsoft, and I tend to look to you for your counsel. But as Microsoft does what they're going to do, I promise, Mr. Old School, I will get you back on again before episode 200. Does that sound fair?
I'm not going anywhere.
All right, that's good to know. That's good to know. As we get ready to put a lid on this, Mr. Old School, go ahead and plug it up, sir.
All right, oldschoolmovies.net, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. Also found on trendingtopicsnetwork.com. I can be reached at at oldmovies.net, at DaMounty on Twitter, and as well, check out our new show, episode 1 of All Beer Inside, where I get completely shit-faced, and
completely shit-faced is an understatement, but I believe the term abortion of a podcast was used twice.
That's fantastic. Check it out if you want to have a good laugh.
That's right, and as of course, folks, I am Piper the DJ right here.
Sorry,
you know, the wife got on to me not too long ago. I need to change my outro. So, you know, I am your host, Piper the DJ. You can get a hold of me right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, PiperTheDJ@gmail.com, Twitter, and Google+, as well as all the other great shows that we have right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. We are constantly, and I can I say it enough? Constantly, Mr. Old School, adding new content. The rule of thumb that I'm always telling people, just check in every day, because you never know what is going to be trending next. For Mr. Old School and all of us, to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.
Somebody say shots. Shots, 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 shots,